Last week we began Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus. And I said I was going to take my time with this letter. And you're going to see today that that's really true. Last week I only dealt with the first two verses. Today I'd like to focus on verse 3 for reasons that I think will become apparent as we go through the message. Right now I'm going to read the third verse. And as I do, I want you to put down your Bibles. I want you to close your eyes and just listen as I read. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Nice short lesson today, isn't it? Now I'm going to read it again. And I want you to ask yourself if there are any words in particular that stick out as I read this verse. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And now I'd like you to take a look at the cover of your bulletin. And this time, as I read it, I want you to read it with me. I'm using the cover of the bulletin, that way we're all using the same version of the Bible. Are you ready? Here we go. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, is there any word that sticks out to you as we read this verse?
Blessed.
Blessed. Oh, really? Oh, I hadn't noticed. Yeah, three times. Either the word blessed or blessing appears in this verse. Who is it that is blessed?
Jesus.
Close.
God
the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who else is blessed?
Us.
We are. He has blessed us. You and me. And when does this blessing occur? When we die? When we do some good deed? When have we been blessed? Is it past? Is it present? Is it future? Will we be blessed? Are we blessed? Have we been blessed? We have been blessed. I'm giving you an English lesson. See, I was an English major in college. So. Always loved grammar. I had an English class in ninth grade, I guess it was. We studied grammar. And the test was we were given a paragraph and we had to list the part of speech of every word in that paragraph. And I was very pleased when the teacher told me I did better than anybody had ever done on that test. So you see, my triumphs are few and far between, so I remember them when they happen. The point is, we have been blessed. Too often we as Christians, when talking about what God has done for us, we're always looking to the future. I heard a thing on the radio today about how we have to forget the past. Well, with COVID, I don't mind forgetting the past. But there are times when we want to remember the past. And there are times when focusing on the future causes us to miss out on what we already have. And the point is, according to this verse, we have already been blessed. And what have we been blessed with?
Jesus.
Well, according to the verse, what have we been blessed with?
Every spiritual blessing.
Every spiritual blessing. Some people say that Paul is a person who likes to use extreme language. He likes to talk about all and everything. He likes to remind us that we have everything we need in Christ. He likes to remind us that the love and grace of God are available for all people. And in today's lesson, he's emphasizing that we have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Any spiritual blessing that God could give us, he has already given us. And I already answered my next question. We are the ones who are blessed. Who is the one who has blessed us?
Jesus.
Not exactly. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God who has blessed us. And this raises another point that I find very interesting. As Christians, we tend to put a lot of focus on Jesus Christ, and that's very appropriate. But there's a problem with that. The problem is, we often think of God as an angry judge who fortunately has been placated by the love of Christ. We think of God as the judge and Jesus as the one who loves us. But I did a word study in the New Testament a few years ago. I wanted to know exactly who is it that loves me. I want to know who loves me. My life was changed when I found out Tammy, for some reason or other, loved me. I don't know. I still don't know why. But when I looked in the New Testament, I found more references to God loving us than to Jesus loving us. The emphasis in the New Testament is that God loves us and Jesus loves God. And Jesus did what he did for us because he loves God and wanted to be obedient to him. And along the way, he also loves us. Because after all, Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live in the flesh, I live for him who loved me and gave his life for me. So I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't love us. And I'm not saying that when he died on the cross, he didn't do it for us, because he did. But when the Bible tells us it's God the Father who loved us, I think it's important for us to give him the credit. One last question. Where are those blessings? In the heavenly realms. They're certainly not in here. But that's not the kind of blessing he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual blessings. And he's saying that every blessing he could give us is in heaven. And as Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, treasures in heaven have an advantage over treasures on earth. I don't know how many people I've talked to this past year, since January, who have told me that their 401ks have lost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. What about those people who bought into digital currency from that guy who collected money from everybody, but when it came time to give it back, there wasn't any. It was a scam. Billions of dollars just disappeared. If you lived in Lebanon or in Iran, you would understand that very well. The value of Lebanese money has gone down and down and down. And just when you think it can't go any lower, it drops again. It's reminiscent of life in Germany after World War I, when inflation was so high, you had to take a wheelbarrow full of money to the baker to buy a loaf of bread. And here in our own hemisphere, the leftists point to Venezuela as paradise. It may have been paradise when it was the richest nation in South America. But now, it's not a utopia, it's a dystopia. It's a place where freedom is gone and money has no value and everyone is poor. But Jesus tells us that treasures stored up in heaven can never be stolen. They can never wear out. They never lose their value. And being created and given by God, they never disappear. They are safer than money in the bank. And unlike money in the bank, their value doesn't diminish as we use them. It increases. You could say it's as if the more we withdraw from our heavenly bank, the more we have. But like money in the bank, if it just sits there and doesn't do anything, it doesn't do anyone any good. Except maybe to sit late at night when you realize how empty your life is and you get out your passbook and you say, well, at least I've got money in the bank. Treasure is given to us by God to be used. How often we've heard the expression, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. And though these spiritual blessings are located in heaven, they're meant to be used here on earth, to be shared with those around us. And as we go through this letter of Ephesians, we'll discover what those blessings are, how they were meant to be a blessing to us, and how we can share them with others. One last question. Let me repeat the verse once more. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It is God who blesses us. The blessings come from God, but who delivers those blessings to us? Jesus. Now it's time for Jesus to be the answer. Those blessings are in Christ. And I emphasize that because that phrase, in Christ, will be very important as we go through the letter to the Ephesians. The phrase in Christ or in Him, meaning in Christ, will appear at least 20 more times in these six chapters, and many of them will be in the rest of chapter 1. Now we know what the Bible says. I have another question, but it's not on that verse. This question is, do you feel blessed? Of course, we all do now after singing Count Your Blessings. Of course, we feel blessed. Did you feel blessed yesterday? Or did you feel blessed this morning when you had to get up for church? I didn't. I don't mind admitting it. I never feel blessed first thing in the morning. I'm a night owl. I can stay up till 3, 4 in the morning and it doesn't bother me. But to get up, I don't care how long I've been sleeping. I could have gone to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening and not get up until 8 in the morning. I could go to bed at 3 in the morning and not get up until 3 in the afternoon. Still, when I wake up, I don't feel blessed. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get out of bed, especially in the winter when I'm nice and cozy and the temperature in the bedroom is down low because we're trying to save money on our heating bills. In those moments, I might, if I thought about it, agree that God is blessed. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, He's God. Never bothers Him to get up because He never goes to sleep. But me? Blessed? Hardly. Morning's a hard time for me. I wake up and the devil must know that I don't like getting up. Because when I wake up, which is usually a couple hours before I have to get up, the devil is right there telling me the things I need to do that day that I'm not going to be able to do. Reminding me of mistakes I've made in the past. Using the voices of other people who have assured me that I'm not blessed. And when those moments come, I need to remind myself, because it doesn't come naturally. I need to remind myself that I am blessed. And so I begin by praying. I pray for the members of my family, each one in turn. I pray for the members of this church, and that's a real blessing having a small church because I can remember everybody's name. And as I mention your name in prayer, God usually reminds me of something specific that I can pray for. And as I do that, I come across names like Dan and Ruth Ann Magruder. And I think about all that they have been through. I remember our prayer list in the bulletin and how we pray for the people in Turkey and Syria whose very lives have been shaken out from under them. I remember the Jewish people and the anti-Semitism they have experienced forever, it seems. Then it becomes a little bit easier for me to realize that maybe I am blessed after all. But if I could only grasp the truth of this verse, that God is blessed, as we all used to say as children, God is great and God is good. That God is blessed and so am I. That we have already received from Him every spiritual blessing there is to receive. And as Paul says in one of his other letters, I am confident that God is able to guard for me, to keep for me those things I have given into His care until that day that I stand face to face with my Savior Jesus Christ. He's not going to let anything happen to those blessings that are stored up for me in heaven. When I remember that all of our blessings are found in Jesus Christ, and when I realize that God the Father and Jesus Christ are in a unique relationship we call Father and Son, because that's one of the closest relationships we can look at in human life. God is blessed. I have already received from Him every spiritual blessing there is to receive. All these blessings are mine and ours in Christ. God the Father and God the Son are one. And don't worry about the Holy Spirit, He's coming up a little later in this passage. If I could only grasp the truth of this one verse, it would transform my life. If we could live each moment as though these things were true, and we believe that they are true, and we understand what they mean for us, our lives would grow from glory to greater glory. I know I don't value these words as I should. I'll warrant that although some of you may value them more than I do, especially at 6 o'clock in the morning, we could all stand to grow a little bit in our appreciation of these four truths. Too often we are like the believers in Ephesus that Paul wrote this to. Do you remember their story? Turn, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Here's where we read about Paul's encounter with the church at Ephesus. Now, it's interesting, at the end of chapter 18, Paul passes through Ephesus and he spends a little bit of time there preaching. But after doing some more traveling, in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we read this. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" I told you the Holy Spirit was coming, didn't I? They answered, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" They replied, "John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." There were about 12 men in all. Now, according to the end of chapter 18, as I mentioned before, Paul himself had preached in Ephesus. And yet, though those people believed in Jesus and considered themselves disciples, their knowledge of the gospel was quite elementary. They knew about Jesus, but Jesus himself they weren't that well acquainted with. They remind me of the recent ad campaign. You may have seen, I guess it was an ad during the Super Bowl, I didn't see it, by a group called HeGetsUs.com. I've seen some of their ads. They present Jesus as a role model of good behavior, as one who encourages love and good works, but not as one who is one with God himself. And not as one that we need if we are to know life. They present us as people who are urged to do good works and would do those good works if only they had a good example to follow. And Jesus is a good example. But they don't need Jesus to forgive their sins. And they don't need Jesus to get into heaven. Instead, the power of Jesus all lies in his ability to inspire us to be the best that we can be. corrected the believers in Ephesus by drawing their attention away from how they were trying to live their lives and put the focus instead on the one in whom they had that life. Away from themselves and toward Jesus. They were saying to Paul, "We were baptized, we believe." Paul was saying, "Tell me more about the one in whom you believe." All they could say was, "Well, we don't know much about him, but we're trying to live the way he taught us to." And Paul was saying, "Well, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables you to live as he wants you to live?" And they said, "What gift? What blessing?" And Paul said, "John the Baptist himself taught that the whole purpose of his ministry was to point to the one who was coming after him, to Jesus Christ. And if we would believe in him and follow him, he would give us a portion of his own spirit that would dwell within us." They said, "Oh, we never heard that before. Hard for me to believe that Paul preached in Ephesus and they could say they never heard that before." But how many people come to church and hear from the Gospels and the writings of Paul all kinds of things, and then when you confront them with those teachings, they say, "Oh, I never heard that before. You have to be born again? I never heard that before, except from Billy Graham." They were already heirs of the blessing. It was theirs to receive, but no one told them about it, or at least they didn't pay attention. It grieves me to think how many people today, right here in central Pennsylvania, who claim the name of Christian, know about Jesus, even claim to believe in him, and yet they don't know him. They don't see the relationship between him and God the Father that Paul emphasized in today's verse. And they certainly don't think of blessings in terms of what Jesus has provided for them. After all, Jesus didn't put any money in their savings account. Jesus didn't give them any advice on what stocks to buy so that they didn't lose money in the stock market. Jesus didn't tell them that they should buy gold and silver because the market's too undependable. And it turns out we really don't know Jesus after all. Because what would Jesus care about money in the bank? Or about gold and silver? When the Proverbs tell us that wisdom is worth more than gold. And that faith in Jesus Christ is something you can't buy with silver. I have known Jesus to some degree all my 67 years. Like David the psalmist, I can say, "Lord, you have been my God from the time I was knit together in my mother's womb." I cannot recall a time in my life when I did not know who Jesus is. But it grieves me to realize that for as long as I have known him, and as much as I have known about him, in many ways I'm like those 12 Ephesian believers. In some ways, although the name of Jesus has become very familiar to me, the person of Jesus Christ is in many ways still a stranger to me, especially when I read passages like today's verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Christ Jesus. As Paul continues writing this letter, his emphasis will be to remind us, or perhaps to introduce us, to this Jesus in whom we have a treasure store of blessings already made available to us, stored up for us in heaven, but meant to be withdrawn from that account and used here on earth. For the more we use it, the higher the balance grows in our heavenly account. I'm anxious to hear more about those blessings and the one in whom they are mine. I can't wait to keep studying this letter, to understand the blessings that are already available to me. For those times when I feel spiritually or physically exhausted, when I feel alone and forgotten by God, when I lay in bed in the morning and wonder where I'll find the energy and the inspiration to just set my foot on a cold floor and get out of bed. But more than that, I long to know more deeply, not just the blessings that are mine, but the Savior who says that He is mine. I long to know more deeply the one in whom all these blessings are delivered to me. Why would He do this for me? How does He do this for me? I cry out with the psalmist, as the deer pants for rippling brooks, so my soul thirsts for the living God. I want, along with Paul, to consider everything else as worthless compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Who is this one who did so much for me? How can I be more like Him? This is what Paul will be addressing in the coming verses and the coming chapters in Ephesians. I'm glad that daylight saving time starts on Sunday, because that means I'll be getting back to this verse an hour earlier than I otherwise would. I can't wait to hear and to learn and to be transformed by the truths that Paul is about to share with us. Heavenly Father, can it really be that everything I need, I already have? Can it really be that there are treasures already stored up for me in heaven, not waiting for me to earn them, but already stored up with my name on them, waiting for me to realize that they are mine and to take advantage of them, to see them working in my life the way the Ephesian believers began to see the Holy Spirit working in their lives once they knew that that Spirit was available to them. I am yours, Father, to do with whatever you want. And that is the greatest blessing of all. Thank you, Father, for the love you have for us and the love of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.